the Knowledge by Michael Cox, read by Vienna Vance. Introduction. Have you ever looked at those awful multicolored splodges on your teacher's tie and asked yourself, is that an exciting art design based on the paintings of Jackson Pollock, the famous action painter, or is my teacher just a messy eater? Art is awful, isn't it? At times it can be confusing, infuriating, baffling, scary, and, well, incredibly weird. Occasionally it's also absolutely disgusting. So don't read this book if you are easily shocked. There are a go-no. On the other hand, it's nearly always tons of fun, awfully exciting, and awfully interesting. In a recent survey, quite a few out of 10 school children expressed a preference for art over several other well-known brands of classroom torture. And in a discussion about art, those same children said that they wished they knew more about this fascinating subject. Some of them even asked exciting and lively questions like, who were the first ever artists? What's art for? How can you tell if something is real art? What are artists actually like? And can we go for our lunch yet? One or two admitted that they had embarrassing gaps in their knowledge of art history. You billy, where did art begin?
About 2:10 this afternoon, miss.
Dimwit. Now who could tell me what pigments are?
I know, sir, they're tiny, light, sweets, popular with pigs.
Goodness, girl. This book will answer questions like these. It will also tell you a few other awfully interesting things about art that you probably didn't know, like how the world-famous artist Pablo Picasso was let down by a sausage, why the sculptor Joseph Nollekins hardly ever changed his underpants, what the artist Mark Quinn did with 9 pints of his own blood, and where the painter A.L. Girodet stuck his candles while he was painting. It might help you to discover whether or not you are the right sort of person to become an artist, and show you why some artists rocket to fame and fortune, while others plummet to pain and poverty. If we tried to tell you all of the awfully interesting things that there are to know about art, this book would have been at least as big as a multi-story car park, and we probably wouldn't have been able to fit it through the bookshop door. So we've had to leave out a few thousand stories, but we've still managed to include fascinating facts about the art that is so incredibly old and ancient that even your head teacher won't remember it. Things about the art that is so new and weird that the people who read the news on TV probably don't even know about it. Stories about the artists whose work was so nightmarish and shocking it caused a riot. Terrific tales of foxy fraudsters, fab finds, doom divers, jammy bodgers, and genuine geniuses. An interview with an apple. So if you want to find out which artist liked to use toilet rolls as sketch pads, which one dyed his hair with boot polish, and which one wanted to put dynamite in a deck's bottom, read on. Hopefully you'll find it awfully interesting. How art got off to a terrifying start. Place, a cave somewhere in France. Time, 15,000 years ago. Pa Homo sapiens burped noisily, then wiped his hands on the corner of Ma Homo sapiens bison firm miniskirt. That was a delicious bit of mammoth, my dear, he said. So succulent, so tender. You can't beat the free-range variety, is what I say. It takes a bit of persuading to get them to fed off the edge of the cliff, but it's well worth it in the end. But Dad, protested Arthur Homo sapiens, the youngest and smartest of Ma and Pa Homo sapiens' 23 children. Our mammoths are free-range. They wander wherever they choose. That's why we have to hunt them at such great risk to our personal safety. Is it? Said Pa Homo sapiens, scratching his gorilla-like cranium in confusion. Of course it is, said Arthur, who is generally considered to be something of a useless wimp by the rest of the family. He paused, then added thoughtfully, though I'm sure time will come when there will be mammoth farms and pre-packed select cuts of mammoth steak readily available at specialist outlets. But not in our lifetime, Dad. Mammoth you like? He's dreaming. Pa Homo sapiens' overhanging eyebrows jutted out even further above his overhanging eyes as he listened to his remarkably clever son. I'd never thought of that, he said, and bit the head off the giant cavelos, which had just crawled out of his hairy chest. That's because your brain's not as big as mine, said Arthur. I am your son, and therefore I am further up the evolutionary tree than you are. Evolutionary tree. Me, Mom, Dad, Uncle Ugg, Auntie Australopithecus, insects, PE teachers, dinosaurs, Amoebas. We're not up in a tree. We're in a cave, said Pa Homo sapiens, feeling even more confused. What in the awful Minnie, said Arthur under his smelly breath. Don't you be so cheeky to your father, you little Neanderthal, snapped Ma Homo sapiens, and she gave Arthur a mighty lap with the thigh bone of a giant reindeer. You're getting too big for your hippo skin moccasins, you are. Just for that, you can tidy away the dinner things while the rest of us settle to a pleasant evening staring at the fire. The rest of the Homo sapiens clan moved away from the dining area and gathered around the fire, leaving Arthur to clear up the mess. They don't have it either completely engrossed in that evening's flickerings, clapping and grunting appreciatively whenever they thought they spotted a familiar face in the flames. Meanwhile, in the far corner of the cave, Arthur, being a sensitive and thoughtful boy, became bored with his tedious tidying task and started to jab and scrape angrily at the cave wall with a charred mammoth bone. He soon began to enjoy himself and realized that this was the perfect way to express his frustration at being so misunderstood and undervalued by his lowbrow family. About half an hour passed. What can that be doing? Asked Ma Homo sapiens. Surely it can't be taking him that long to tidy away a few bones and a bit of mammoth gristle. I'll just go and see what he's up to. She lumbered over to Arthur to see what could be keeping him, but as she drew near to him, she saw something that made the hairs on her back stand on end. She began to whimper with fear. Alerted by her cries of terror, the rest of the family looked in the direction of young Arthur, and moments later, they too were cowering in a corner of the cave, gibbering in terror at the awful sight that met their eyes. Somehow, while they had all been busy watching the fire, a vast herd of woolly mammoths had snuck into their cave. The huge beasts were now covering and trundling around young Arthur, who sat there completely unperturbed, spare rib in hand. Pa Homo sapiens was the first to speak. Get these creatures out of here, Arthur, he stammered, before they trample us to death. It's all right, Dad. They're not real, said Arthur. I've just made them. Of course they're real. I can see them, shouted Pa Homo sapiens. They've got tusks and fur legs and other bits. They must be real. Someone will get a spear and kill them before they get us. Ma Homo sapiens peered quizzically at the huge beasts, and suddenly she realized that it was not as it seemed. Just a minute. Calm down, you lily-livered Comagnon, she said to her quivering mate. Then, turning to her son, she asked, all right, Art, if they're not really, where did they come from? I've just told you, I made them. With this, said Arthur, proudly holding up the charred mammoth rib. Look, it's easy, I'll show you. Arthur made several deft and accomplished strokes with a blackened bone, and, as if by magic, yet another cantering mammoth miraculously appeared on the cave bed. The whole family took two paces back and gasped in awe. Ma Homo sapiens gave her husband an excited look and said, you know what this means, don't you? Yes, I do, said the scared, trembling Pa Homo sapiens. If he doesn't stop soon, we're going to be up to our ears in mammoth poo. No, not that, you plop-look pinhead, said Ma. It's our son, our Art. He's got magic powers. He can magic mammoth out of thin air, just like that. With an expression of respect and wonder on her craggy face, she smiled at her grinning son and said, can you do really rhinoceroses as well, Art? I'm not sure, Mom, said Arthur, but I'll have a go. Arthur's talent for making animals seemed to gallop across the cave as came on in leaps and bounds. He even learned to color in his creations, making them look more lifelike and scary than ever. Clara, this one's really lifelike. Grr. The others of the tribe were so impressed with his magic skills that they decided to give him a cave of his own where he could conjure up bears and bison and woolly mammoths to his heart's content. In no time at all, this cave, which was known as Art's Gallery, became filled with terrifying and beautiful images of the tasty but often ferocious creatures that the Homo sapiens tribe depended on for their survival. News of Art's tremendous talent spread far and wide. Stone Age mums and dads began to take their children to visit the gallery so that they could admire his creations and learn something about the savage beasts that they would one day have to engage in hand-to-hoof combat and hopefully knock the stuffing out of. As the Neanderthal nippers gazed in awestruck wonder at the pictures, their parents would say, these are the wonderful works of art. Aren't they beautiful? Art has got special powers and must always be treated with great reverence. So that is how art came to be respected and to play an important and useful role in prehistoric society. Robot's Big Adventure. Place. The same bit of France. Time, 15,000 years later, September 1930. Their boys were hunting for rabbits with their dog, whose name is Robot, when Quarrrr, my YouTube robot that has disappeared. Robot had fallen through a small crack in the earth known as the Devil's Hole. He has gone down that little hole. I can hear him barking. Le woof! Let us go down the hole. The hole was made 12 years earlier when a large tree was wrenched from the earth by a storm. It was too narrow for the boys to enter. It is too small. We will get stuck. Don't worry. I have my scout knife with me. I will make it bigger in no time.
In order to give a feeling of authenticity, the spoken bits are in the original French. You may need a translator.
What, the knife? No, the oil, you numbskull.
The first bit, whose name was Ravidat, dug away at the hole with his knife. When the gap was big enough, he squeezed through. He found himself in a huge, dark, underground chamber, and something wet and slimy was crawling up the back of his hand.
Ugh! What is that?
Woof, woof!
Tout à l'heure! It is a little doggy tongue licking my hand! It is my robot! Voila! He is safe! Come on down, boys, or are you a flock of chickens?
Woof! The other boys scrambled down the hill.
Quite a surprise! It is well wicked down here! But it is so dark, I feel a bit frightened. Me too! Let's go home and get a look!
The boys went home and returned to the hill a few days later. This time they brought an oil lamp.
Tout à l'heure! It is amazing!
The walls of the cave were covered with paintings of animals. Some of them were enormous. One of the birds was 17 feet long.
They are beautiful, but when were they painted?
Woof!
Grr! I don't know, but I know who will. Monsieur Laval, our school teacher, we will go and get him.
A few days later, Monsieur Laval returned to the cave with a visiting art expert. They were both flabbergasted by the bird's amazing discovery.
I'm amazed! I'm flabbergasted. This is the best preserved example of cave art ever seen. The Lascaux's caves are destined to become world famous.
One, the people who saw the pictures in the cave at Lascaux found them so awe-inspiring and spooky that they called them the eighth wonder of the world. Two, when the boys first found them, the paintings probably looked as fresh and clear as the day they'd been painted. This was because the original entrance to the cave, the one that had been used by the prehistoric artists, had been blocked by a rock fell, and the paintings were perfectly protected from damp and extreme changes in temperature by the thick rock of the cave roof. They were also covered by a layer of crystals. This had the same effect as sealing them under a huge sheet of cling film. Three, a few years after the boys' amazing discovery, an artificial entrance was made to the Lascaux caves and electric lighting was put in. Ravidat and his pals, who were all young men by now, were employed as guides for the thousands of people who came to see the pictures. There. The caves became so famous that quite soon, 2,000 people a day were visiting them. Then, disaster struck. After being perfectly preserved for at least 13,000 years, the pictures began to fade. Experts soon realized that the breath of the visitors and the changes in light and temperature were causing the eighth wonder of the world to disappear before their very eyes. Something drastic had to be done very quickly. But what? Which of the following solutions to the problem would you have chosen? A. Switch off all the lights and ask the visitors to hold their breath and imagine the paintings. B. Make an exact life-size replica of the hill cave and let the public visit that instead. C. Close the caves down permanently and show visitors a book of snapshots. Answer B. Art enthusiasts from all over the world were so disappointed by the closure of the caves that it was decided to make an exact copy of them. The caves, not the art lovers, using computer calculations on modern materials. An underground replica was built using steel girders, wire mesh, breeze blocks, and concrete. The interior of the hill structure was covered in clay and modeled by sculptors, so that the exact shape of the original caves was reproduced down to the nearest few square inches. Pictorial artists were then employed to paint in the animals. Wherever they could, they used the Stone Age pigments, colors that had been found nearby. The fake Lascaux caves were opened to the public in 1983. People who knew the original Lascaux were astonished. They said that going into the copy was just like going into the genuine thing for the first time. You could say that it was the biggest, most ambitious, and most successful forgery of a work of art in the whole world. It is visited by 250,000 people a year, and it is so popular that if you wish to see it during the summer, you have to book months in advance. Prehistoric artifacts. 1. There is prehistoric art and ancient art all over the world. Human beings seem to have been making art since they could hold a charred bit of wood or bone, or hack at a design on a reindeer's antler, assuming it wasn't still attached to the reindeer. 2. There are many genuine cave paintings to be seen in southern France and Spain, and no doubt there are still many more waiting to be discovered by pot-hurling dogs. Sadly, there are probably even more that will never be found because the caves which they are in have been filled by feathers of earth and rock. 3. In one cave quite near Lascaux, there are about 120 paintings of mammoths. Perhaps this is the cave in our first story? It is called the Cave of the Mammoths, and is so far under the ground that an electric railway system has been built to transport the visitors to it. The original artists made their own way to the remote chambers along miles of underground tunnels because they got really fed up waiting for the train. In order to see in the dark, they used lamps made from moss soaked in animal fat, or ate lots of carrots. Whenever they were faced with a descent of difficult and dangerous shafts, they used ladders made from grass and creepers, or just fell down them. The whole experience was no doubt extremely scary and risky, especially as savage bears hibernated in the caves during the winter. There, the Cave of the Mammoths has been known about and explored since the 15th century, and ever since then, graffiti artists from other ages have left their own doodlings and messages on top of the original cave paintings. 5. In the Tarn Valley in southern France, Boy Scouts were employed in a local clean-up graffiti campaign. The Boy Scouts were a bit too thorough and conscientious in their work. They scrubbed away everything they could find, including two rare and priceless prehistoric well paintings of bison that had been created 15,000 years earlier. Before, there's all these animals. After, job done. Dip, dip, dip. Many of the caves have handprints and hand silhouettes on the walls next to the paintings. The cave artists couldn't read or write, so they thought that the handprints might have been their way of signing their work. In one cave, there are prints on the wall which have been made by someone's bottom. No one is quite sure what this artist was trying to say. It could have been a message to posterity. 7. The cave paintings at Altamira in Spain were also discovered when a dog, no not robot, another dog, it was in 1830, went down a hill. This dog had chased a fox into a network of caves. Its owner followed it along an underground passage accompanied by his 5-year-old daughter. The ceiling of the underground passage was very low, so the man had to keep his head bowed, but the little girl was able to look up. She was astonished to see that the ceiling was covered with paintings of what she first thought were birds, but were later identified as prehistoric bison. People didn't believe the man when he told them about the pictures, and a local professor accused him of employing an artist to fake the paintings. The pictures were eventually found to have been created thousands of years earlier. The experts are always right. 8. Prehistoric artists didn't just make cave pictures. They were sculptures as well. Archaeologists have discovered small carvings of bison, mammoths, and human figures. This must be my little mammoth. And here's an action caveman with his accessories. 9. One of the biggest mysteries in prehistoric art are the giant rocks, known as Stonehenge. Some experts believe these rocks were once the site of pagan festivals held by very primitive people, or waves as we now know them. Make your own cave paintings. Before you can produce successful cave art, you must get into the right frame of mind. This is called getting into character. Actors do it at a time. Her task is to wipe away 20,000 years of evolution and civilization in just a few days. You must assume the habits and personality of a Neolithic hunter. No doubt this would be extremely easy for some of you. Getting primitive. Some handy tips. 1. Do not wash or eat for at least 3 days. Get into the habit of wearing animal skins. First check that they do not already contain the animal. Gibber, sniff. 2. Practice dragging your knuckles on the pavement as you walk to school. Gibber at passing motor cars and sniff passersby suspiciously. 3. Pretend you don't understand a thing your teacher says. What do you mean? What's new? 4. Do not sit at your desk in class, sit on a shelf or on top of a cupboard. If your teacher reprimands you, don't sulk. Just curl back your top lip and snarl menacingly. 5. Offer to search your friend's pot for vermin during morning playtime. 6. Sleep under your bed, not in it. Offer fruit to the TV newsreader. Stop the milkman. Feeling pathologic? Good. You must now find a site for your painting. Obviously, a cave would be perfect, but if you haven't got one, the following substitutes are acceptable. A. A cellar. B. A disused dog kennel. Keep a lookout for the disused dog. C. A garden shed. If none of these are available, why not just find a piece of wood and cover it in hyper tufa? Hyper what? Read on and find out. Activity. Getting down to the nitty-gritty. How to make hyper tufa. You can use hyper tufa to make a cave glass surface on a piece of roughened hardboard or thin plywood. What you'll need, 2 parts sifted peat or potting compost, 2 parts clear sand, 2 parts cement, 1 part PVA glue batter, an old spoon or stick for mixing, a bucket or plastic container, a paint scraper or builder's trowel. All you have to do, mix the peat, sand, and cement and PVA glue with enough batter to make a thick paste. Serious warning, wear strong rubber gloves when handling the paste. Spread the paste over the build with your hands to a depth of about 2 centimeters. Shape the surface until it resembles your favorite bit of cave there. Leave to dry. Then when you are completely dry, return to your hyper tufa. If it is still wet, go and organize your painting materials. The cave people had to experiment to find materials. They often discovered them by accident, like Art's charred bone. He might just as easily have used a bit of burnt wood, charcoal that sketches animals, or a bit of calcium carbonate, chalk. If you are not feeling too adventurous, you can use ordinary painting materials. But remember, you must only use reds, browns, yellows, and blacks to give your artwork the
the authentic cave painting look. If you wish to experiment with natural materials, just like Art did, ask an adult to help you, preferably a Neanderthal type, e.g. a teacher, and be safe. Pigments. When Art was looking for colors, he probably dug most of them from the ground. They'd probably be the bits of rock he found most colorful. These are your pigments. When you found some attractively colored bits of rock, you have to grind them into a powder. Do not use the family food processor. The number of colors available to Art was quite limited. In order to add new colors to his palette, he heated some of them up until they took on a new tone. Heated up colors are still used by painters today. They have names like burnt sienna and burnt umber, and they can be bought at artist supply shops along with the original earthy colors such as raw sienna, raw umber, yellow ochre, and red ochre. Art may well have experimented with color made from crushed plant leaves, stems, and fruit as well. These pigments fade very quickly. Mediums or media. You need to mix your ground pigments in a medium, otherwise you'll find them difficult to apply. They will refuse to stick to your painting surface. Art probably experimented with all sorts of mediums, including letter, a sort of glue made from boiled bits of animals, his own spit, his own wee, not recommended, the fatty marrow stuff from the middle of a bone melted down, tasty, blood. Mix your own pigments with the medium of your choice. Learning. Do not absentmindedly lick your fingers whilst doing this. Ugh. Prehistoric paint containers. You will need something to keep your paints in. During prehistoric times, there was a worldwide shortage of empty yogurt containers. The painters used animal skin pouches, shells, and hollowed out bones with a plug at one end. If you can't find any of these, why not use, yogurt cartons? Apply the paint. If you look at pictures of prehistoric paintings, you will notice that there are hardly any dribbles or splatters and smudges around them. This tells us that Art and his pals weren't all that keen on finger painting. They probably thought that was for primitives. They more than likely put the paint on with some of the following items. Feathers, a pad made from animal fur, a bunch of twigs. Art chewed the ends of the twigs to make a crude paintbrush. The hair from animals like badgers, foxes, bear cave people, which he attached to a stick. The hair, not the cave people. You could try to make your own paintbrush using human hair. Your dad's old mustaches, unwanted beards, that kind of thing. What to paint? Your surface and your paints are ready. Now, what should you paint? Well, you could invent your own prehistoric scene, make a copy from a photograph of a cave painting, paint a picture containing lots of 20th century super technology, e.g. computers and lasers, in a prehistoric style, then bury it and completely confuse the